Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And what a joy it is to be able to come to you once again. And we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. On behalf of David Kistler, I am Gary Dull. And, of course, as you all know, Sam Rohr is still over in Ukraine. And he's going about some very important duties and responsibilities over there, which I'm sure we will be talking about next week when he's back. And so today we're delighted to have with us an old friend, James O'Brien. Jim's been on with us before, and there's no doubt he'll be on with us in the future, as he has an awful lot to share with us because of his connection with national security. And so, Jim, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, sir.
Well, Gary, it's great to be back. And Dave, hello to you, too.
Well, Jim, glad to have you aboard today. Very important things going on in Washington, D.C., a lot to discuss. And, Jim, I can't think of anybody better to have on the program to discuss these things, comment on these things, and you. So it's a delight to have you aboard.
Well, I have testified in that very room where Hillary is, so I can sort of get a feeling for what it's like there.
I was going to say, in fact, what we need to do, Dave, is just sit back and let Jim talk for the next hour.
I agree.
I think that we could probably learn a lot more from him than we can from Hillary Clinton. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there are many, many, many things to talk about on the program today, but we are going to go right to this idea that, the reality, that Hillary Clinton is today before Trey Gowdy's committee on the Benghazi scandal. And we've been watching this for the last 2 hours or so, and it's very interesting to see what is going on down there. And I was very interested in noticing that one of our personal informants, we'll call him Mike, sent a note to Trey Gowdy that was actually Dwight Eisenhower's message to the soldiers and sailors and airmen of the Allied forces back on D-Day. And he said this, which is true, and I think this is something good for Trey Gowdy to take into consideration. He says, "You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the Clinton," "the Clinton war machine, the elimination of unethical tyranny over oppressed citizens of the world, and the security of ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened. She will fight savagely. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking." David, there couldn't be a statement more appropriate from our dear informant, Mr. Mike.
Well, you know, Gary, whenever he sent that out today, I responded back to him and I said, "Man, you need to be on TV, Mike, you need to be on radio, because your sense of what is appropriate at a day like today in a time like this is beyond stunning." And it really is, Gary. Having watched the first 2 hours of this off and on in between doing some other things, but trying to keep my ear tuned to it and my eyes on the screen, Gary, I just want to make a couple of quick assessments. Trey Gowdy's opening statement set the table perfectly. It was nonpartisan. It stated the facts as they existed. All these emails that have surfaced since some of these other committee hearings on this do change the dynamic. They genuinely do. And his pursuit of the truth and his character and integrity, all of that was just stellar. It came through in shining colors. And then the following statement by Elijah Cummings from the Democratic side was filled with partisanship. And then Hillary's statement, Gary, was absolutely amazing. She was purposely, you could tell, deliberately trying to be soothing in tone, very calm. She didn't move her hands. She kept them on the desk in front of her. And, of course, that has changed as she's begun to have to endure some difficult questions. She's become more animated. Her voice has become more grating, which is typically the way she always is. That is who she is, a more grating personality. And I have no idea. I have no doubt that by the end of the day, there will be fireworks. But, Gary, she said something very, very interesting. And I know Jim's been monitoring it, too, and I can't wait to hear his take on it. But she said this, which was absolutely stunning to me, and I believe it's going to come back and bite her. She said, I do not have a computer in my office. I did not have a computer in my office at the State Department. That was an amazing statement. And then she said this, because there is a gap between 2011 and 2012, a lot of emails, a lot of communication talking about Benghazi's security in 2011 before the 9/11 2012 attack there. Lots and lots and lots of emails. And then in 2012, there seems to be almost no communication. Like, on her radar, Benghazi had dropped off the side of the earth. And so there's a lot of questions about why no interest leading up to the attack in 2012. And she said, you know, I just didn't do a lot of communication and a lot of my State Department business via email. Gary, we know that to be unequivocally untrue. So all of this is going to come back and bite her as the day wears on.
Well, it is untrue. And, of course, the fact of the matter is, at one particular point, she also said that she rarely did any emails. Did you pick that one up?
Gary, I did. I did. And that is absolutely stunning, Gary. Stunning for her to.
Jim, I know that you have been involved with intelligence and security down there in Washington, D.C., but that was quite unintelligent for her to say, in light of all of these emails that we have of hers, I hardly did any emailing while I was over there during the while I was at the office during the course of the day. You know, how dumb can a person get, Jim?
Don't ask me to comment on that. I don't know. I don't think we've plumbed the bottom yet. But let me just mention this one thing. She's not, I don't think she, maybe she's parsing her words. She said, I didn't have a computer in my office, but the question is, did she have a server or did she have a terminal? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say, well, I didn't say terminal. I didn't say this. That's going to probably plug this eventually. So I didn't really lie. You know, and it was like, it really wasn't sex, you know, the kind of thing that her husband used to say. I really believe.
What is is?
Hmm?
What is?
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far
as preparing
for this hearing, very quickly, I mean, when I used to go over there and testify, it was a month thing. You prepare a draft of what you're going to have in your opening statement. Then it has to be approved by the people that you work for. And then it comes back to be edited again. Then it has to be over at least like a 3 or 4 days ahead of time for everyone else to get a chance to read it before they even show up. So what's happening here, it's more of a play than it is something that's actually in real time. Okay, so everybody there knows sort of what, you know, what the comments are going to be of everybody. Okay, so I think what you're seeing is sort of a little bit stiff, but I think as things go along, as the hearing farther into it, like afternoon, maybe even tomorrow, I don't know. It's
Jim,
be
you're
more...
breaking up. Jim, you're breaking up. Yeah, I don't know if it's your phone
right.
or what it is there,
see.
But
all right, I'll get back to you. But the point I wanted to make, if you can hear, is that it's going to be more feisty as it goes along, is what I'm going to say. Okay.
Well, it's no doubt it's going to become more feisty as it goes along, and I think she's going to become more and more defensive. You know, I think she's going to become more, not only more defensive, but she's going to start, I believe, doing some backbiting. It's going to be very interesting to watch this entire thing throughout the course of the day. We'll not be able to watch it all, I know, simply because of our responsibilities, but we do have a contact in the room down there in which Clinton is speaking right now, and we might be able to hear a live report sometime throughout the program. If so, we will let you know, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break, but we will be back with more right after this. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
October 22, 1836, General Sam Houston is sworn in as the first president of the Republic of Texas. The Texas Declaration of Independence stated, "When a government has ceased to protect the lives, liberty, and property of the people from whom its legitimate powers are derived, and becomes an instrument in the hands of evil rulers for their oppression, it is a sacred obligation to their posterity to abolish such government and create another in its stead. Conscious of the rectitude of our intentions, we fearlessly commit the issue to the supreme arbiter of the destinies of nations."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. What if your employer told you, a Christian, that it is fine that you hold your beliefs and practice them at your home or church, but if you talk to anyone about your faith at work or in public, even on your own time, you'll be fired? Well, that's just what the city of Atlanta admitted its position to be in court last week, in the case of Fire Chief Kelvin J. Cochran, who was fired from his job because of a Bible study book that he wrote on his own time and provided copies to other people who gladly accepted it. Chief Cochran is an example of the growing persecution of Christians in our society today, and as his case shows, it's getting to the point where living out your faith can cause you to lose your job. Chief Cochran is our special guest at our Friends of the Family banquet on Friday, October 30th in Hershey, along with keynote speaker Eric Metaxas. You can get details and make reservations at dinnerwiththefamily.org or call 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, along with Dave Kistler and Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl. And we've been trying to monitor this hearing that's taking place with Trey Gowdy's committee down in D.C. on the Benghazi scandal. And it's interesting to note that even as we speak right now, Congressman Pompeo from Kansas, I believe, has been talking to Hillary about how many requests for increased security came her way. And, of course, Dave, I don't know, maybe you've been monitoring it. Maybe you have as well, Jim. But, you know, apparently shortly before 9/11, when this whole thing blew up over in Benghazi, there were something like 600 requests for increased security that supposedly did reach her desk. That is Hillary's desk. But she's coming along and saying that none of those actually reached her desk. I mean, Dave, are you following that? I mean, you know, how in the world can she lie her way out of that when he has the proof right there in his own hands?
Well, Gary, it's like this. Yes, I am monitoring it, by the way. And the answer to that is this. I'm not responsible for anything negative that happened. You know, it just didn't get to me. She said earlier, I have no recollection of the fact that two of her staff, yes, they were lower level staff, said that there were problems in her responding to things, and that they didn't even know that there was still, or that Hillary, they didn't think, even knew there was still a presence in Libya leading up to the 9/11 attack of 2012. So it's classic Clinton approach to things, Gary. You know, if something good happens, I take all the credit. If something negative happens, I take none of the blame. I don't recall that. I don't remember that, or I didn't get that. That is exactly where the Clintons operate, Gary. It's classic Clintonian response.
It is. And, Jim, you know, this is interesting. And, again, we have you on our program because of your expertise in government and so forth and so on. Rudy Giuliani has said that there are at least 15 potential violations of the law committed by Hillary during this particular time, including negligence with classified information, mail fraud, wire fraud, obstruction of justice, and so forth and so on. And, you know, the question that I have for you is, with all of these potential violations of the law, how in the world does Hillary Clinton think that she's going to be able to get away with all of this? Or maybe the question is she going to be able to get away with all of this?
Gary, good question. And I think the word Clinton really helps you interpret what the result's going to be, probably. If you recall, there was talk about impeaching President Clinton, remember, for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at the results. Basically, it was just sort of, he sort of laughed it off as, you know, hey, after all, I'm just a warm-blooded American guy, you know, who, you know, has his needs and interests, and, hey, listen, don't blame me. So it's either ignorance or apathy, you know, neither one's excusable, okay, in my opinion. I remember when I was in the Pentagon, yes, I had a server. We had a contract that was exclusive to a particular company, which I will not mention. And they maintained that. I could not even have access to it. It was off-site in a secure facility. And then I had safes in my office. In fact, I can tell you the day that 9/11 happened, we had probably 10 or 15 safes, multi-drawer safes in our office. And we had a copper-clad room to keep information from coming out through electronically so people couldn't pick up what we were doing outside the Pentagon. And when the bomb went up, when the plane hit, it felt like a bomb, it was one of the biggest ones that ever hit the Pentagon. And I required my people to put the stuff in the safes even though we were under attack. I said, get that classified information. Don't sign anything. Just throw it in there and spin the dials. And that's what we did because it was that important for us to keep that secure. And so I think she's just taking the easy way out. I'm above the law, so don't blame me. After all, you know who I am and you know who my husband is. And if you don't like it, we'll get back at you. Okay, we've got your name and number.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I do remind you that Jim O'Brien was in the Pentagon on 9/11/01, and that's what his reference was to there when he made that particular statement. And Jim, this idea of classified information is something that those of you who are intelligent in intelligence and those who have a high level of security, I can imagine that you are trained to take care of that to the highest degree. And to say the least, even if Hillary would not have broken any laws, certainly her judgment was bad in the way that she handled this classified information, don't you think?
Absolutely. In fact, I wrote a book, an 800-page book that was unclassified, but I took it to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs and said, would you please review this for classification? And they reviewed it and they said, well, nothing in it is classified per se, but the compilation makes it classified. So just the compilation of unclassified things taken together is something that has controls on it. So for her to say that nothing was classified, the point is, even if they were not classified, the compilation could indeed be classified.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, can I ask Jim a question? Because I'm just curious here. Jim's had top secret security clearances and probably still does. And
I still do,
number
yes.
of various. Jim, I'm curious, what could possibly be Hillary Clinton's motivation? I mean, is there there has to be, in my estimation, some kind of sinister motivation on her part to maintain a private server, to do what she did while at State Department, while at the same time appearing to have this cavalier approach to the guarding of that information. I mean, what in the world could possibly be, as Gary so well said, being trained? You know, why would she approach it this way?
Well, I can't get inside her head, and I really don't want to get inside her head. But I think what it was a case of it's most convenient for me. That's all I really care. I don't know what the rules are. In fact, I do know what the rules are, but I'm going to disregard them because I'm a special person. She's sort of condescending upon the law. The laws are other people, not for me. And also, her relationship with Mr. Blumenthal, who Mr. Obama said, do not hire him, do not use him for any official purpose at all. She still wanted to continue that consultation with Blumenthal, who was not a friend of Obama at all. And that's one way she could do it, was to have a private server.
Well, you know, all of this causes the American public to have great skepticism towards those who are in government. And I don't know, Jim. I mean, you know, we go back to the idea that you say, well, her name's Clinton. You know, the question is this going to... is this going to ruin her? Is this going to take her out of the race for the presidency? I kind of hope that it does. I kind of think that it should. But you know, as an individual who is, in a sense, an insider down there in Washington, D.C., what is the scuttlebutt around D.C. concerning Hillary Clinton? Is this going to mar her, or do they think she's going to come out on top of this just as a shining beacon?
Well, my belief is that she's going to come through this with a few scars, but they're going to heal very quickly, and she'll move on. I think Bernie Sanders is not electable because of his socialist manifesto, if you will. So she's the Democrats' hope. But I compare this against the Watergate that happened 30 years ago. You know, what was the thing? They taped a lock on the Watergate door so they could snoop on the Democratic National Committee. Well, you know, nobody died. Nobody was injured. But yet our president resigned because of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true, David. You know, President Nixon resigned. You know, I remember those days quite well, people referring to him as Tricky Dicky. And, of course, you know, he said he wasn't a crook, but most people thought that he was a crook, believed that he was a crook. But, you know, he's looking pretty good, Dave, in light of Hillary Clinton and what's going on right now. What Richard Nixon did is a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what this Benghazi situation is all about.
Well, you know, Gary, over the passage of time, truth has become so muddied and so murky that, you know, that now somebody can do what Hillary Clinton has done with State Department secrets and with defending men over in Benghazi like Christopher Stevens, and it just gets a pass. So it shows you a little bit of the deterioration of society that we could be at this point and people would be no more exercised about it, and Hillary may skate on this. What I want to ask Jim, and we may not have time for an answer prior to the break, but I'd love for Jim to give us what's going to be the procedure following this hearing. The recommendations that come out of this committee, could they recommend that she face, you know, criminal charges, that she faced jail time? I mean, what potentially are the ramifications of everything that we're watching play out today?
All right, we'll do that after the break.
No, go to it now. Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not an attorney, okay, Dave? Just because I've been in Washington doesn't make me an attorney. You know, they say that 90% of the lawyers give the rest of them a bad name, you know. So I don't know. See, what's interesting is this morning there was no oath taken, correct?
That's correct.
No, not at the beginning. We saw that open. There was none.
I didn't see any oath, which means a lot of this testimony doesn't quite have the weight that it would have if she was under oath. Okay. So
normally, is there an oath taken at the beginning of a hearing like this, Jim?
There is often an oath taken, yes. When you go over and testify, you often raise your right hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Okay. Now, she didn't say that.
She did not do that. They did not ask her for it either, which I thought was sort of a surprise.
Yeah. Well, she probably doesn't want God to help her anyway, Jim. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk more about the Benghazi trial that's taking place in Washington even as we speak, along with some other matters as we go throughout the program today. So on behalf of David Kistler and Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl saying don't go too far away. We're going to take a bit of a break, but we will be back in about 3 minutes. So stay tuned to Stand in the Gap today or this Thursday. We will be back right after this.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Hillary Clinton's about 2 hours into testimony and questioning with the House Select Committee on Benghazi, investigating the consulate attack in Libya 3 years ago. Four Americans died, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. Indiana Republican Susan Brooks asking if then-Secretary of State Clinton was on top of the security situation in Libya and in an earlier attack on a convoy.
You sent Chris Stevens there, but yet when our compound is attacked in 2012, what kind of culture was created in the State Department that your folks couldn't tell you in an email about a bomb in April of 2012?
Well, Congresswoman, I did not conduct most of the business that I did on behalf of our country on email.
She says most of her work was done in person, on the phone, or in other ways. There are 7 Republicans, 5 Democrats on this special committee formed last year. This is a Fox News alert.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, we encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular program, as well as the other programs that are produced by the American Pastors Network. But I encourage you to go there so that you can correspond with us, as there's the opportunity to do so there. Now, along with David Kistler and Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl. We are talking quite a bit today about the Benghazi hearing under the direction of Trey Gowdy down there in Washington, D.C. Let's just go down to Washington for a little bit and listen to some of this back and forth that's going on. And then in just a minute, Jim, after we listen to a little bit of this, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you think the committee really needs to find out as a result of this particular hearing? Right now, Hillary Clinton is going back and forth with a Congressman Pompeo, I believe it is, or Pompeo from Kansas. Let's tune in and see what they're saying.
Got the vast majority of the information that I acted on from official channels. I read a lot of articles that brought new ideas to my attention, and occasionally people, including him and others, would give me ideas. They all went into the same process to be evaluated.
Yes, ma'am. I will tell you that the record that we've received today does not reflect that. It simply doesn't. We've read the emails. We've read everything that we could get our hands on. It's taken us a long time to get it. But I will tell you, you just described all of this other information that you relied upon, and it doesn't comport with the record that this committee has been able to establish today. And I want you to take a look at this chart to the left. You'll see the increasing number of requests, over 600. I think data matters. The pictures are worth a lot. You see the increase in the requests, and then the bottom line is the increase in security. And you'll note that the slope of those two lines is very different. Can you account for why that is? Why we have an increase in requests and yet no increase in security?
Well, Congressman, I can only tell you that I know a number of requests were fulfilled and some were not. But from my perspective, again, these were handled by the people that were assigned the task of evaluating them. And, you know, I think it's important to, again, reiterate that although there were problems and deficiencies discovered by the Accountability Review Board, the general approach to have security professionals handle security requests, I think, still stands.
Well, I tell you what, Dave, it appears as though these security requests were not properly evaluated. I mean, we see the outcome. We've got some dead people because of it.
Well, Gary, we do. And, you know, it's interesting, Gary, that we tuned in right there. That is a live moment in the hearing. And, Gary, that is probably as poignant a place we could have possibly tuned in, because it underscores Hillary Clinton's inability, unwillingness, whatever the word might be, to protect Chris Stevens and three other Americans, as well as others that were on the ground there in Benghazi. It goes right to the heart of why this hearing is even necessary. Gary, phenomenal, phenomenal thing. And I think, as Jim said, it's going to become more heated, and the revelations that will occur later this afternoon as Hillary faces some really pointed questions are going to reveal how inappropriately this entire scenario was handled, and it demands answers for the American people and certainly for the family members of those who lost their lives.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you know, before we went down to Washington to hear this particular testimony, I ask you, what is it that you think the committee needs to come away from this hearing with? What are they looking for? You know, CNN reported five things that the committee wants to know, including why did the United States remain in Benghazi despite the escalation of violence, and even as other consulates were closed? Why wasn't Clinton aware of requests for additional security in Benghazi? And that, of course, is what we are listening to right now. What was Clinton's involvement in discussions about the military response? Why did the State Department keep the Benghazi facility as a, quote, temporary mission? And then finally, could security improvements have been made before the attacks that have prevented this? This is what CNN is reporting that the committee wants to know. Would you agree with these particular items that CNN is reporting on? If so, maybe you can elaborate upon that. If not, why not? But what do you think that committee must walk away with today, Jim O'Brien?
Well, I think that CNN obviously has a political agenda, I believe. Okay, I'll go on record as saying that.
I would agree.
They're not friendly to the conservative side of things. And as a result of that, they're going to come up with questions that appear to be on the surface really issues. And there are some legitimate questions there. But I think the issues that the way they're framed, Hillary necessarily isn't in the spotlight as much as some others. For example, they've got to address the question that it is true that you have a private server in your home. Is that correct? Yes or no? Who gave you permission to, you know, have that private server? And go on the record, okay? Are you aware of the fact that that is illegal? On the record, okay? They need to swear her in to get this so that it is prosecutable, okay? Otherwise, it's just testimony, and well, I didn't mean to say that. What I really meant to say was, you know, you misunderstood what I said, or I was incomplete. Another issue I think that they need to talk to is the point of they still haven't determined who made up the scenario about a video. They still haven't nailed that down. They've got to do that and follow that all the way to the source, okay? Somebody thought it up. The third thing that is amazing to me is the president somehow skates free on this. He's not involved at all, at all. This is one of his top cabinet members, and his name is not coming up at all. Why?
Hmm.
I don't understand that.
So you're telling us that there's a cover-up here?
I think so. I think so. You know, you look at Watergate, and you look at Sam Ervin, the guy that chaired that.
Mm-hmm. I remember
he was
that.
A Democrat. So the tables are turned there, okay? Mm-hmm. And they how long did those hearings go? Weeks. Mm-hmm.
What would you suspect that this cover-up might be, Jim? I know I'm putting you on the spot, and I realize that there are certain things you cannot reveal to us here today because of your security status. But in your own opinion, what do you think might this cover-up entail?
I think that Hillary is taking the fall for the president, for one thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, she's just claiming ignorance of the law, and golly gee, if I had to do it again, I would have done it this way. And she's just trying to be Teflon about it, I guess you'd say. And I think that part of it is she's trying to protect her own skin as far as the presidency, for sure. But I think she's also trying to protect the president, even though they're not necessarily the best of friends. In fact, they really aren't. But they tolerate each other because they need each other.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you know, it's interesting when we see the goings back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats on this particular hearing that's taking place down there. It seems like the Republicans are trying to ask some direct questions, but the Democrats come along and just, you know, they're giving her candy, cupcakes, and cookies.
Well, Gary, one gentleman, a congressman from Washington State, didn't even ask Hillary a question. He asked his own questions and then answered them. So they're obviously running interference for her. But, Jim, I want to ask you a question. You know, what you said there was very, very interesting, in fact, quite compelling. You said she's taking the fall for the president, which I think you're 100% accurate on that. But let me ask this, and again, if you can't address it, obviously we understand, but what is it that she is taking the fall for? What is it the president has done, not done, in Libya? What were we doing there? What are your thoughts on that she's taking the fall for? Because that really goes to the heart of the issue.
Well, I think just top down, the president has not been sort of watching the store. He's been out, you know, golfing and, you know, skating around the world doing his thing, and he's not really been paying attention to these kinds of issues that he should be. I mean, there's a president. Remember, President Truman had a sign on his desk, the buck stops here. Well, it evidently doesn't stop there anymore. It stops at Hillary Clinton, and she's saying, well, it doesn't stop here either. It stops at somebody else. Let me give you some names, maybe, you know. She's even refusing to give some names. So we've got to find out where the buck really stops, and we haven't found that yet.
Which is an interesting point, Jim, because, you know, earlier on when some names were brought up that were on emails, she said, well, I really don't those folks are not a part of my staff, but yet they were a part of the 70,000 staff members of the State Department. Is she not responsible for them as well?
Of course. Of course.
Sure. So she's trying
Gary,
to
there
wiggle.
It is again. There it is again, Gary. You know, if something good happens, you know, the Clintons take credit. If something negative happens, you know, I didn't know about it. That wasn't my area of responsibility. They're low-level staff. I don't know who they are. It's just absolutely a journey into the absurd.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless there's hard evidence, like the Monica's dress. You know, Clinton denied any involvement until Monica came up with the dress, with the stain. And finally he had to say, well, yeah, I guess so, you know. So even then he refused to admit exactly what it was. So
very interesting, very interesting. You know, we need to go back to Harry Truman. The buck stops here. I think, gentlemen, that down in Washington, D.C., particularly as it relates to the Clintons, they don't even know what the buck is. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after these messages, and so you won't want to go too far. This is Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Isaiah chapter 31, the prophet says, "Woe to them who trust in horses and chariots and military strength to defend them when evil arises and war is in the air." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As Russia invades the Middle East, over 100 conflicts are raging around the world, Israel is under siege, and America is continually threatened by its enemies, Isaiah's advice for Israel then is God's warning for us today. The strength of horses will fail. Military equipment will fail. The great armies of the world will fail. When God, the King of Kings, comes to judge with righteousness, all human strength will fail. The warning is clear. If we put our trust in man and machines, we'll lose. The promise is also clear. If we put our trust in Him, He'll be our unfailing strength and shield. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, don't trust in man and lose. Trust in God and win.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow. Ooh. Ooh.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's go back down to Washington, D.C. and join a little bit more along the line here of the debate, which is a good way to put it, the hearing there at the at Trey Gowdy's committee on the Benghazi scandal. Mrs. Clinton is being questioned now by Representative Sanchez.
And that is, of course, what they were doing that night. Is that correct, Secretary?
That is, and also the Defense Department was doing everything it could possibly do. We had a plane bringing additional security from Tripoli to Benghazi. There was an enormous amount of activity. Everyone, it was all hands on deck. Everyone jumped in to try to figure out what they could do. The attack on the compound was very fast.
So would it be safe to say that you were fully engaged that evening?
That is certainly safe to say.
Well, Ms. Sanchez, Dave, is Democratic, is a Democrat, and so that's why she's there trying to help Hillary along, don't you think?
Of course, you know, it's been one incessant statement after another from the Democratic side, just trying to discredit the process, the committee itself, and incessantly go to the defense of Hillary Clinton. You know, Gary, Jim said it earlier, it is a play. These people are actors on the stage for the most part, especially on the Democratic side and tragically sometimes on the Republican side. But I think as the day wears on, it's going to become more and more difficult for Hillary to skate around the things about which there are serious questions and serious concerns. And, you know, we've got to get to the truth on this. We absolutely have to get to the truth on this. Somebody has to be accountable. Gary, you said it well. With Watergate, the president stepped down and was nowhere near as serious as what we're watching here. Up to this point, nobody has been held accountable. Nobody wants to be held accountable. Nobody wants to say the buck stops with me. It's absolutely a travesty.
Well, it is. And Jim O'Brien, I want to go back to something that I talked about at the beginning of the program, and that is that Rudy Giuliani says that there are at least 15 potential violations of the law committed by Hillary in this whole scandal, including negligence with classified information, mail fraud, wire fraud, obstruction of justice, you know, espionage. There's an issue there, and we could go on and on and on. And we know, even as we speak, that there are people who are either in jail or who have been fined or fired from their various positions because of some of these things that Hillary has actually done through her involvement with this Benghazi scandal. The question I have for you, Jim, is why is she not in jail? What is it that is protecting her from being fined and prosecuted for these violations of the law that she's committed? You know, why is there such a double standard being played out here?
Well, I think part of it is that we don't really have an independent committee, so to speak. You know, it's being run by the Republicans, which looks like it's a partisan attack rather than attack on her, you know, legal status like a judge would have up in front of a court. And there's tremendous leverage. The media certainly are on her side, and it's very hard to buck the media because, by and large, apart from only a couple of outlets, including, of course, Fox News and so on, they're controlled by the left. So, you know, she's got traction all over the place. So I think that's the primary reason. You look at General Petraeus. What he did was much less severe, much less of a crime, if you want to think of it that way, than what Hillary has done, in my opinion. Okay, I mean, she's already admitted that, you know, the facts are on the table about her server, about access to the server, about classified on the server. All those things are prosecutable. There's no question about that. The question is, are they going to act?
So what can the American people do, Jim, to, you know, move this on and to receive justice in this matter?
Well, there's several things. One is to pray. As Christians, prayer is something very potent. If my people, which are called by mine, that shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, you know the rest of that. That's one way. Two is to make their voice heard. In other words, call a congressman. If you don't know what the congressional number is, just call information at the Congress, and they'll tell you who your representative is, your senator. Call them and actually talk to one of the LAs, legislative assistants, and tell them who you are, which district you're from, so they know you're not some lobbyist who's calling in for everybody, and let your thing be known, and let them also know that you're not going to vote for them unless you support, you know, what you believe is right. People don't really understand how powerful a phone call and even more powerful a letter is, okay? And not just a Xerox letter. I mean an original
real letter. And, you know, maybe if everybody would get on the telephone and call Trey Gowdy's office in Washington, D.C., and who's the Democratic
Elijah Cummings,
thank you.
From Baltimore, yes. Right.
Elijah Cummings, call his office and say, look, we demand justice. Dave, I think that would go a long way, don't you?
Well, Gary, I do, and I have no doubt, and I'm not saying this to discourage anybody from calling in. They need to follow Jim's admonition, but I have no doubt that Trey Gowdy has received calls probably by the boatloads from those that are encouraging him to stand strong. The tragedy, gentlemen, is this. If I understand correctly, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, Hillary has agreed and her people have agreed for her to testify today only. So everything that we're going to find out about this incredible scenario that unfolded in Benghazi, all the unanswered questions have to be answered today. And I did hear Trey Gowdy say this at some point. If we have to go late into the evening, we're going to stay here until we get our answers. But is that true, Jim? Is that accurate that she's only going to be there today and today only?
I heard rumors about that. I don't know if that actually is true, okay, so I cannot speak authoritatively, but that could very well be the case, which I think is a major mistake for the Republicans to make if they did do that.
Tell the American people one thing, you tell your family an entirely different story. Also, on the night of the attack, you had a call with the president of Libya. Here's what you said to him. Ansar al-Sharia is claiming responsibility. It's interesting, Mr. Katala, one of the guys arrested and charged, actually belonged to that group. And finally, and most significantly, the next day, within 24 hours, you had a conversation with the Egyptian prime minister. You told him this: we know the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest.
Well, that's right to the point, David Kistler.
Amen.
Gary. The timing of that could not have been better. What a place to cut in, my friend.
I want to hear Hillary. I want to hear Hillary's response to that.
Yeah, what a statement. What a time, Gary. That goes to the heart of the issue.
She hasn't responded to it yet. She's just sort of sitting there looking. She hasn't responded yet. Actually, she looks quite tired. She looks like she's about ready to cry. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we do need to pray for this. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity of meeting Trey Gowdy and actually had prayer with him over this particular situation. And I would encourage you, as this particular hearing goes on, that you pray for Trey Gowdy. Pray for everybody on that committee right now that the truth comes out. Jim O'Brien, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us on Stand in the Gap today.
Happy to be here.
We'll look forward to having you back with us sometime again in the near future. And David, I suppose tomorrow we may have more to talk about on this particular situation. Pray that America comes to the point of justice in this whole situation. Until tomorrow, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.